Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. I'm Nicole Mazzucato, and as always, I'm here with my friend and co-host Anthony Gitch all the way over there. Before we get started, our usual disclaimer, neither Anthony nor I nor our guest today are licensed medical professionals, psychologists or psychiatrists, so please do not make any changes or alterations to any medications or treatments you're on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like and leave the rest, and while you're leaving stuff, you can leave us a like, a love, a heart, a thumbs up, whatever you like. Share us around, drop us a message, get in touch, and over to you, Anthony. Hello.
Hello, Nicole. It is always good to see you, and thank you for the welcoming of everybody this morning. And today we have with us someone that I have known for several years now. And in fact, I think the first time I met him, I've seen him around for a while, but the first time I actually met him was when his booth was next to my booth at HypnoThoughts, and he was just full of inappropriate comments. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Goyette.
Thank you for that introduction. As we know, as we first met, Anthony, there was some translations that needed to be made, because right. I always assume everyone knows what I'm saying.
Right. It was actually a very funny exchange, and it's made Dan unforgettable. But at any rate, good guy. You do a lot of work. He just does a ton of work. And Nicole has never had the pleasure to actually meet you before. But you also do Hypno Cafe. Tell us a little bit about all the stuff that you've got your fingers in.
Oh, golly. Sure. Yeah. Started out just as Houghton Lake Hypnosis Therapy Studios. So named for my very first office outside of the house was a big studio office. So of course, I, having tremendous imagination, went, okay, Houghton Lake Hypnosis Therapy Studios. Fast forward to where we are now, my partner, who used to be my executive manager that just kind of ran the office for me, was Heather Carpenter. She's now my business partner. We now incorporated into the Michigan Hypnotherapy Guild, just because she had the great idea of starting a hypnosis conference. Then I started a podcast just for fun. And she said, nope, we gotta monetize that somehow. So the Hypno Cafe podcast became the Hypno Cafe podcast and magazine. So as a matter of fact, with the winter issue coming up, we will have published our fourth full quarterly magazine and been out and about in the world for 1 year.
Well, so we're coming up. Congratulations. No,
thank you. And of course, we started the Michigan Hypnosis Conference in 2022 just because, well, not because, and I shouldn't put this all on her. I don't do anything I don't want to do. First, let me say that. Heather had seen me going to HypnoThoughts Live, going to the UK Hypnosis and Heartland, and just traveling and presenting at all those conferences. And she asked, why don't we have a conference here in Michigan? And my first response was, well, it's hard to get that done here in Michigan. It's a lot of work. It's a big undertaking. Not sure if that's something we want to do. And her response was, you didn't hear what I just said. Why don't we have a conference here in Michigan? So, okay. We started that first conference. And the reason we did that, and one of the reasons I did it, was to reach out to hypnotists and hypnotherapists here in Michigan. We used to be quite the mecca for hypnosis here in Michigan. As a matter of fact, I believe I have been told, and I haven't confirmed this, so bear with me, that the dental conference of Hypnosis Dental Association, I'm not sure if I'm saying that, used to be held here in Michigan long time back, and it was held in February. And the old joke is, if you're in Michigan in February, you either love snowmobiling or you've lost a bet. So, yeah. That was the conference that was here in Michigan. I believe it moved. Where did that move to? Florida?
The International Medical Dental Hypno Association.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is in Florida.
Yeah. I thought it went somewhere warm.
Yeah.
So we started that just to reach out to, as I said, the Michigan hypnotist, because it used to be a lot of us. And now that number has really dwindled. If you look on Google or you look on Bing, you'll only find a very few hypnotists and hypnotherapists whose offices are opened and running at what I would call 100%, meaning that, you know, they have a social media impact. They have a website. They have an email. There's a phone number that you can call them. That, to me, puts forward that professional face on hypnosis and hypnotherapy.
What do you think has happened, Dan? Why has it dwindled so much?
One of the big reasons is, and bear with me, please don't throw anything at me. a lot of people get into hypnosis and hypnotherapy based on the marketing. You know, oh, start this new career. You're going to make so much money, and it's going to be so great, and you're going to be independent, and da 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 da. And that doesn't happen right away. For many, it didn't happen right away for me. So I think very early on, possibly many of them got discouraged because they weren't making all this money and they weren't getting this financial independence and they didn't really know where to go to look. There was no guide or business model that they could look at here in Michigan at the time. So they just kind of said, you know what, if I see a client, I see a client, I'm not going to put a lot of money, time, effort, or energy into it just because they got frustrated. And I've talked to a few of them, well, more than a few of them that have said that to me. I got frustrated with it. I couldn't make any money. I couldn't get any clients. I didn't know where to go to how to do this or how to do that. So we dwindled down to where we are now. I think there's less... God, I just looked at the map the other day. Less than 25 full-time offices here in Michigan.
And especially since COVID, I know a lot of offices closed. Because I mean, like, I don't have an office anymore. But still, you know, I mean, I think that also look at the. I'm sure in the cities there's probably a heavier saturation of a practicing hypnotist. But then again, also. From what I understand, that's a fairly depressed economy throughout Michigan. Detroit's, you know, with everything going on in Detroit, with everything that's going on in all those cities. But there's also a really vibrant cultural and arts sort of thing that's also happening there, the underground part of that, because of the of high tech and that sort of thing. So there should be that market there for you guys, too, it would seem.
Detroit is the biggest concentration of hypnotists and hypnotherapists in that area, Grand Rapids, Detroit, which has made a little bit of a comeback. They've just put out a $30 million grant in Detroit and Greektown area for, I want to say, revamping that area. Excuse me, I'm having a rutabaga moment. Anthony knows what I'm talking about. To revamp that area, to revitalize those areas. And they've been doing that. So that area has been coming back. And it's interesting that you say that about economically depressed. A lot of the hypnotherapists that I've been talking to, myself included, have seen a dip in clients. It is, I think, more widespread than I first believed it to be, just because the economy right now isn't so great.
But actually, just on that point, Dan, I was just thinking that I really wanted to kind of thank you for being so honest about that, because it's unusual. The person that's willing to say, do you know what, business has dropped.
Let me amend that statement. Let me amend that original statement to say that here in Michigan, my client base has dropped. So whereas I was seeing 10 to 15 clients a month, I'm seeing about 6 to 7 a month. Yeah. And then, of course, there's some dry spells in between that. Now, since that has happened, I have made a personal decision to really amend my client base, to work where I'm comfortable. And what I've been doing with for a very long time is working with first responders, doctors, nurses, police officers, for post-traumatic stress syndrome. Mm. I have stopped seeing every client that comes down the pike. And that was just very recently. So to just put that specialization on it, because I myself am a first responder and I've worked in that field for a very long time. And I got a nice warm spot in myself for fellow first responders. So as my client base has dropped, I am narrowing my focus and field on where I'm going to work at in hypnotherapy.
It's funny that you say that, because it's just been this week I was talking to somebody and I have decided that even on my website right now, it says there's three things that I specialize in. It says anxiety, anger, and kind of codependent stuff, right? Or pain is one of the other ones. I'm taking those off of there, because where I've decided that my niche is, that I have been finding most of my clients lately that have been coming to me, and where I've been the clients that have such great success and I've enjoyed working with the most, is something that I would not have thought about a couple of years ago. And that's IBS and gut issues. So it's just recently that I, like you, have decided I'm going to, instead of expanding up and starting to include more things, I'm shrinking down to be more directed at very specifically what I want to do and what I want to work with, much like you are, because like you, I've been experiencing that fluctuation. And I think a lot of people in the industry have been experiencing that fluctuation through the conversations that you and I have with people at different industry events. It's not something that is uncommon. It is something, like Nicole mentioned earlier, that is uncommon for people to talk about.
So it is uncommon, because when I went through my training, and you guys tell me if you had the same experience, and I think this is where a little bit of the salesmanship of the time comes in. Is that a word? Can I even say that? Really?
It's a word now. Go with it.
It is. To speak makes my English talking gooder. So, yes. One of my instructors told me, it's like, that whenever you're dealing with clients or potential clients, you know, always tell them you're 100% booked. Always, you're 100% booked. And I thought to myself, well, that's not very transparent. And that's not very honest as a business person. So I said to myself, yes, I want to be booked, but no, I'm not going to fabricate. Man, I cannot speak today. I'm not going to fabricate clients out of thin air to make myself look more successful than I am. Just because my thinking on that has always been, effort, time, effort, and energy, that brings you success. And I have had a good deal of success with that model, time, effort, and energy. It built the office, it built the conference, it built the magazine. So I am pretty happy with where I am right now. Even though client-wise, it's dipped off, on the other areas and avenues that we've expanded out to in the guild has picked up.
Right on.
Just coming back to your niche, Dan. You know, it's I think it's an underserved niche, and it's such a, you know, it's an underserved market, if you like. And the fact that you are a first responder yourself puts you in a different position to be able to help first responders. But you know, the police, the fire, you know, the fire brigade, nurses, paramedics, it is so underserved. And the question of PTSD, I mean, you refer to it as post-traumatic stress syndrome or something. Anyway, PTSD, is just so rife in these people that are serving the community and serving the public. And I know that, for example, in the police, there's very... I don't know how it is in the States or with the people that you work in, and I would assume in the military as well, there's still a bit of a taboo around talking about these things, seeking help. You know, there's still kind of,
No, you're right. There is. The confidentiality of my office is just concrete. I don't ask my clients to put video testimonials up. I don't ask my clients to put testimonials up on the website with their name. If they want to do it anonymously, that's fine. Just because these are people that are thought of as being in charge, being responsible. Oh, there's an emergency. Who am I going to call? Oh, I've got to go see the doctor. You don't want to visit a doctor who's maybe having some stress issues or anxiety issues. So you have to be very careful with how you protect that client's anonymity. And I've always done that and strive to do that. So I'm not sure if that's helped or hurt my business that I've not done testimonials or asked people to put, you know, videos telling them, oh, what a great service we have here. But certainly offering that confidentiality has helped quite a bit.
Well, and do you find that people find it hard to kind of, you know, reach out to you in that sense? Is there a sense of shame around reaching out for help around what they're struggling with?
Well, not so much shame, but it's more of frustration. So as being first responders, police officers, but we're supposed to be able to take care of all these emergencies. We're supposed to be able to take care of all this. And when you have to reach for help, you know, there's that frustration of why can't I simply, as we used to say back in the day, man up, Bob. Why can't I man up? Why can't I just deal with this? All right. So it becomes more frustration than shame. And that leads to anger, which leads to a lot of other things, a lot of other issues for the first responder or for the doctor. So that becomes problematic. Yep. And since I speak their language, they just naturally call out to me.
No, really, really important, people to be serving there, Dan. So, good for you. And I understand that do you work full time as a paramedic or do you work part time as a paramedic and see clients part time?
I retired from Ogemaw County EMS after 20 years. And then I went back to work for Heather up in Tri-Town on a contingent level, what we call contingent, meaning that if they needed somebody, they would call me. So the practice was doing very well at that time prior to COVID. And at that time, I was also doing stage hypnosis, and that was doing okay. Post-COVID was not so great. As you know, my office closed, I think it was like 4 months, and I'm still paying bills. So that was a huge, huge thing for everyone in the business industry.
Yes,
I had my taxes done. And one of the things that really surprised me was, the individual that does my taxes says, oh my God, I can't believe your doors are still open. You wouldn't believe the number of small business owners who now have jobs because they lost their business. But during COVID I went back to, Tri-Town full time. So just because, you know, they needed me to do so. So in hindsight, that actually helped out a lot because the practice wasn't open. I was able to stabilize myself financially by doing that. And after the practice got back up and running, it did not get back up and running to pre-COVID levels right away. And it still hasn't. So I'm still waiting for that. Because
I think a lot of people are waiting for that to happen. And again, I think that much like the marketing stuff that is put out there, you know, it's one of the things that I've always, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in or, you know, whether you're a massage therapist or whatever it is, there's always the next best thing in that industry that is going to make you a million if you just sign up today. and we all fall for it at one point or another. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that is what it does is that it helps us. It enriches us in one way or the other. You know, we were always able to pull nuggets out of it, but I think that sometimes it becomes cataclysmic or it shuts people down to some degree. So there's those of us who can bounce and come back from those sorts of mistakes. And then there's those who hit the ground and splat and just don't get back up.
So, yeah. And I can honestly say I always get back up. So I've made a couple mistakes very early on in business. I remember the very first mistake I made was web.com at the time. I had begun working with web.com, and not knowing any better, they built me a Facebook page for $43 for my business. I paid them for that, not knowing that I could just build a Facebook page for free for my business. So that
you're lucky you only got stung for $43, not $43,000.
No doubt, or $4,300 or $400.
Right. So,
Well, they also built a website. And the thing that bothered me most about that back then was the price increase. It kept going. It started out at, you know, very low, like 30. By the time I left them, I was $114 a month for web hosting.
Jeez.
Plus the $43 a month for the Facebook page.
Wow.
And yeah, wow. When I left web.com, to my horror, I discovered that I could have been running the Facebook page all along because it didn't go away and I still was able to use it. So I thought to myself, well, that wasn't right, Dan. they took you for a ride there, buddy.
Well, yeah, I've had, you know, haven't we all had an experience like that? To one degree, just something similar, right? Where it's like, wow, here's one of the things that I've never understood. If someone comes to us as a professional and says, I'd really like you to help me change blah, 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 blah. And we're like, okay, we're change specialists. We can do that. But here's the deal. I want you to give me $2,500 down. And for the next 3 months, I need you to support another $2,500 each of those months so I can watch and learn exactly what the algorithm is of your thoughts. And then we're going to devise an actual process at the end of that that is sure to get you the results you're looking for, right? That's what web marketers do. That's what people who do create Google ads do. They are the professionals, and I've never understood it. We go to them. They're supposed to be the professional. We pay them the shit ton of money, and then they need 3 or 4 months in order to figure out how to best do what it is that we need them to do. I can do that shit on my own and not cost me $3,400 a month. So, as hypnotists, we can't do that. And there is no other industry that is allowed to do that. But if we look at that industry in particular, they really learned, they got a really interesting niche in there that it's like, we're going to charge you a lot of money, even though we have no idea what we're doing. You're going to pay us to learn how to sell your stuff. And then we're finally going to do something for you. It's really interesting. It's an interesting business model.
I can say that some of them don't do something for you. I signed up with GoDaddy's marketing, $500 a month. And we had several discussions on what I do, post-traumatic stress, anger, anxiety. Those are the things I tackle. And we had to have more discussions on that because they kept coming back to stop smoking, stop smoking, stop smoking. And, you know, I'm just like, listen, guys, that's not what I do.
I do anger. Here's, you're about to see anger.
Yeah. And my website was on their social platform. It was on GoDaddy. They could look at it and see exactly what I was doing. But they kept marketing it out to stop smoking. Now, I would take the occasional stop smoking client here and there. But after almost 6-7 months of that, I just moved on. As a matter of fact, I am in the middle of transitioning away from GoDaddy. We've just outgrew their platform, both for the conference. Well, actually, for the guild, the conference, and the magazine. Very quickly, the magazine outgrew GoDaddy.
Right on.
I was very surprised by that. So
the magazine has been going well for you.
It is. It is going well. So
and
we've got
every
readers.
3 months that you're putting it out. And people can subscribe to that. And do they pay for that subscription or is that a free subscription?
The subscription to that is $19.99 for the year.
Right
so,
on. Okay.
Yeah. And matter of fact, I'm just working. I was here today because it's Labor Day, enjoying the quiet, working on kind of finishing up the winter issue. I've got a couple more things to do with that, But I thought, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of the quiet and just work on that layout for the magazine. So that's what I've been doing today. And one of the things that surprised me right away was we got readers in as far away as Australia. Right, I am on. Sending that magazine out to Australia.
It's a print copy.
Yeah, it is a print copy. Nice. Initially,
and it's not a cheap magazine. I was in the centerfold. I was the centerfold a publication or two ago. By the way, thank you, Dan. But it's not a cheap. It's well done.
Yeah, that's one of the things I do. And it may not be very businessy. And so when I say this, people are probably going to cringe. I don't ask how cost effectively can I do something. I ask how well can I do something. And that's just always been me. I think that if you offer a product, it should be done well. So initially we were going to do online, digital. That seemed to be the thing that people liked. And I did put out a one print magazine after the very first Michigan Hypnosis Conference. And then we took a reader poll and nobody wanted the digital. Everybody wanted the print. So we stayed with that. And Dazzle Printing here in Michigan does that for us. Those are the printers that put that magazine together for us or print it out. And
Right on.
We That's were awesome. Able to-
Yeah,
that's awesome. I think people are just tired of looking at everything on a screen, right? I think COVID just screened us all out, you know, online learning, online everything, looking, you know, I think it just melted people's brains. I know I had that experience where it just got to a point like I just can't look at anything else online. And it's nice to have something, you know, to touch and smell the paper and, you know, all of those little kind of nuances and nuanced experiences that we just don't, you know, we don't have that as much access to anymore.
So, yes. Well, and the thing is, as hypnotherapists and I, and going through some of the psychology classes that I took, we were told to invoke as many senses as you can when working with a client. And one of the things I found, oh God, I can even go into my teaching credentials here. We learn and grow through all our senses, tactile and smell and scent and feel. And, you know, just that's how kinesthetically we learn and remember. So that's just one of the things I always remembered from very early on in my hypnosis training and very early on when I had to go through my instructor coordinator training was the way that we learn as human beings.
Right on.
Yeah. So how can people find the magazine? We're going to put links and stuff in the show notes later on.
Yeah. Right now, they can't.
Okay.
But
the
they
plot
will.
Thickens.
Yeah. They will. The website is moving and the website address is the same. It's hypnocafemagazine.com. So I am hoping to have the new website up and running by the end of next week. I've been working on that as well, just because, like I said, we outgrew GoDaddy so fast, I had to go to a different web hosting that would allow me to have a contributor area so that if someone sends me an article, they don't have to do it through the email. They just go in, put it in their file folder. I go in and it's right there on the website. In their contributor file and I can just pull it out. So yeah.
Very cool.
And then I use Square and the new site that we're going to be using hooks right up to point of sale. I don't have to build a payment link, add it to the website. It's just there.
Very good.
So, yeah. And if people want to contribute to the magazine, how do they kind of put themselves forward for that?
Initially that will be an email if they want to be a contributor. They would send me an email along with an article. Heather and I would review it, and a couple articles in if we like what they're doing. So, yeah, we would ask them if they'd like to be a contributor. And to from time to time, write an article for the magazine. I'm not where I can pay anybody at the moment for that. So let me just say that right now, but hopefully that will change here in the new future, because you would like to be able to pay your contributors if they're sending you articles.
Well, that's, yeah, I guess that's fair enough. I see, and I look at that a little bit differently than you do, Dan. I'm like, you know what? It's because, you know, you look at the NGH, they don't get paid for those contributions. Is what they
Well, we don't
get.
Pay anyone to come on the podcast, do we? You know?
Right. Is what they get is the ability to be heard and seen. Right. So, that's what the reward is, right? To me, that's where they should be going for, not the idea, well, I'm going to do something and get paid. I want them doing something for, like, the podcaster. I want them doing it because they love it, because they want to contribute, because they want to see the success of everybody. Right. I mean, but again, you know, there's your way and there's the Gitch way. And of course, my way is the right way.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the Scottish in me, we just like to be a bit, stout-minded. Oh, you did that for it. Have a stout. Give me it out of there. Sorry. And, come on, sit down. Yeah. It'll be fine. And that's just the Scottish in me. But
how much are you going to pay per word? Maybe I'll start contributing. No,
teacher. As they said, they said in the 30s, 10 cents a word. And what was it? What was that? The old sci-fi things. You got like a penny a word or something.
Yeah. Wow. That would be.
So Dan, I've got another question for you on your website here. You've got your team. So you've got a team, right? You've got Catherine, Robert and Heather.
Yes.
Can you explain to me a little bit so you all work together, or you're all kind of, how does it work?
We all work together. Heather is the business partner. We are incorporated. And Catherine joined us first as an intern. She wanted to learn about hypnosis and hypnotherapy. So I said, okay, if you come on in, you do some work for us, that will be your payment. I will teach you, clinical hypnosis, which I did. We spent about a year working with her, and she is now a certified hypnotherapist. And as a matter of fact, I moved her up to be our lead hypnotherapist to try and relieve me a little bit, to be able to work more on the magazine, work more on the conference, and just be free to be a little bit more of a CEO, if you will. So I know that Anthony can tell you that running a conference and putting it together is extremely time consuming. So... So as a matter of fact, during the Michigan Hypnotherapy, or not the hypno, the Michigan Hypnosis Conference, excuse me, at one point, Anthony, this will make you feel better. I was in Club 41, where we had our show and our hi hello party. I had the joy of destroying the helium balloons that we had blown up for the party to relieve some of my frustration.
Right on.
So, because as you know, there's always somebody that has a suggestion. It's like, hey, you know, if you did this with you, this is how you should run your conference. So,
well, you know, Dan, I got to tell you, congratulations, by the way. That's your second year on this conference, wasn't it?
It was. And
congratulations.
Thank you. It was a little bit bigger than it was the first year. And we have some announcements coming out for 2024 that I think are going to be exciting.
Good for
and
you.
I know that this is the second year for you and, Jim for the Pacific Northwest.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Right on.
So, yeah.
So are we.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun. That was my first time in Tacoma, Washington. So it was nice. I went down and ate right there at that little restaurant. It wasn't far from the conference center. It was right by the bay. So that was nice. Seafood right by the bay. Loved it. So,
Very good. Well, yeah. We were happy that you were there. Dan was a huge supporter of the conference and brought a lot of, you know, all the way from Michigan, brought us screens and freaking projectors. I mean,
oh, wow.
He's listed on this year's website as the super sponsor.
Okay. Not the super spreader, but the super sponsor.
That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Dan, for joining us today and for letting us get to know you a little bit. We appreciate it.
Dan, I really appreciate your transparency, actually, your honesty. You've really, you know, you've really kind of shown up in a really transparent way. And I'm really grateful for that because I know a lot of people are, I don't know, don't want to talk about certain things. And
Salesy.
Yeah.
Everything's beautiful. Nothing's wrong. Nobody panic. Yeah. Don't ignore the man behind the curtain.
Right. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm very transparent. Some things are going really, really well. Other things could be better. But on the whole, I think that we're doing okay. So,
yeah. Good for you. And thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'm glad that we finally, you know, and I was, when I finally sent, I had to go back and look because I'm like, haven't we already had Dan on? And I went back and I'm looking. I'm like, I know he wasn't on in the first season. And I'm like, shit, we got to get a little email out to Dan. So thank you, sir. Thanks for joining us.
All right. And thank you for having me.
Yep. And on that note, everybody have a great week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.